Well, look who's back. Yep, I'm back. Pastor Jack's fault. He called me. Did you feel the presence of God when the praise and worship was going on? Wasn't it wonderful? You know that God on a Wednesday night came down in the house of God to bless us? That he's so concerned about us that he came down to take care of your problems and your worries and your cares. You know, the Word of God says to cast your care upon him because he cares for you. But how many times do we carry our cares around and drag them behind us and try to take care of them ourselves? And when all else fails, what do? Then we want to call somebody. Then we want to come into the power of agreement where the Word of God says, for two or more agree together, touching any one thing. He didn't say it might be done. He didn't say it could be done. But church, he said it would be done. And then when we've drug it around for so long that it's worn us out, it's made us grumpy and grumpy. We can't get along with our husband. We can't get along with our wife. We can't get along with our kids. That's when we decide we've had enough. That's what the devil does. The Bible says he comes to kill. This is not even my message. Steal and destroy. That's his business. But the Word of God said, when you cast your care upon him, he's going to come down right in the very midst of it. And he's going to make a way where there is no way. And he's going to go before you. And he's going to make the crooked way straight. I want to talk about fragile faith. That's the devil's job, to try to steal our faith. You know, when you're fragile, you're weak. You can't really do anything, you know, and you just feel just like you're weak. And when we have fragile faith, it's very easy for the enemy to come in and take the promises of God that he's given us. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to take the promises of God. The Word of God said every promise in the book is yea and amen. Every promise from Genesis to Revelation is yea and amen. And it's not because of who you are or who I am. It's because of who he is. He said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And he won't give to one person anything else he won't give to the other. We're his children, and he loves us with an everlasting love. You know, every tear we cry, he bottles up. He watches over us. If you go to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning, and you're safe and you're sound and you can walk and you can talk and you can hear, you're a very blessed individual, very blessed individual. You know, when I went through that cancer for 5 years, I had 4 kinds of cancer. I didn't understand it. And all I knew is that the Word of God said in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And I quoted that till I couldn't even talk anymore. I wore it on my shirt. I wrote it on the walls. I wrote it in the bathroom. But nevertheless, for 5 years, one cancer after another. And you know, I got that fragile faith, church. I got weak, and I began to wonder, God, when are you coming? This is contrary to what your word says. Your word says, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I'm healed. Healing is the children's bread. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. That's your word, God. This is all contrary. And then when I had to have a stem cell transplant, I really got miserable. And my poor husband sat over there in a room. It was during COVID. We couldn't even leave the floor. For 100-something days, we were not allowed to even leave the floor. It was like being in a bubble. And I was so sick. I had my transplant. I had no immune system. And I got pneumonia. And I got COVID. And I should have been dead. God did not allow death to take me. But it came with everything it had. But you know why it didn't take me? Because I stood on the word of the living God. Not because of who I am, but because of who I serve. Because who my daddy is. Because I didn't give up when they said, you got rickers. There's no cure. There's no cure for it. It's very aggressive. You know, we're going to try one more thing. That was the stem cell transplant. My sister was a perfect match. They did the stem cell transplant, and they released me. And in the meantime, I prayed, and I said, God, I don't want to live under an umbrella of remission. I want to be like the little lady that pressed her way and touched the hem of the garment and was made whole. That's what I want. So the doctor called, and he said, the Rickers is back. We've done all we can do. Normally, you have 3 to 6 months. But in my spirit, I heard somebody much bigger, much stronger speak to me. And he said, I have numbered your days. I, the living God, the great I am, have numbered your days. So I want to tell you something, church. I woke up one morning. Nobody touched me. Nobody prayed. I mean, there were a lot of people praying for me, but nobody laid hands on me. And I did my hand like this, and that Rickers was gone. It was completely gone. And I called my doctor, and I said, Dr. Corey, that Rickers is gone. He said, Donna, that's Rickers. It don't go away. There's no cure for it. I said, I'm telling you, Dr. Corey, it's gone. He said, come to Houston. I went to Houston. He did the testing. We were going to Houston every several times a month. I went to Houston doing the testing, and he came back in that room, and he said, you're cancer-free. Now, four cancers, he said, I'll see you again in a year. Again in a year. God did that, church. There are people in here right now that got promises from God that you need to hold on to. You need to take the devil like you do a bulldog and hang on with everything you got and drag him around the block a time or two and quote the word of God to him and let him know that you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you're an overcomer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You need to let him know, just like Joshua and Caleb, when they went into that land, you know, they had already sent people, and there were giants in that land. But Joshua and Caleb were in that land. They saw those giants, but you know what? They came out and said, now I'm going to paraphrase to you. I'm sorry, Pastor Jack. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. They said, oh, there are giants in that land. Woo, but we know the giant slayer, hallelujah. We know the one's going to slay those giants because we're going to have the grapes on our table. We're going to have what God's got for us. And it's time that we get rid of our fragile faith and that we take hold of the horns of the altar and that we begin to go forth and take back what the enemy has stole from us. It's time that we let the glory of God flood over us and fill us up to overflowing, that we have the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, back in the olden days, when there's a story in the Bible about the lady who her husband died, and she called the prophet and she said, you know, my husband's died, now they're going to take my sons for servants, and you know, what are we going to do? And he said, well, what do you have in your house? She said, well, I have you know, a few, you know, vessels, you know, one maybe. So he said, well, go out into the neighborhood and gather vessels and bring them back. No, she said, I had oil, I'm sorry. So he told her to go out and gather these vessels. So she went and got them and poured oil in them, filled every one of them up, all that she could get. And then he told her to go sell them, to pay off the debt, and that she could live on the rest of it. Now notice, she didn't say, well, what do you mean to go get the vessel for? What are you going to do when I get it? Well, I only have a little bit of oil. You know it's not going to fill that up. She didn't say none of that. She trusted the word of God through the prophet, and she obeyed. And she received the blessing of God. Now, the Holy Spirit now is not, it's in us. It's that oil in us, and we're supposed to go out and fill up other vessels, you know, out into the lost and dying world or the church or wherever, and fill them up. And as long as we're giving out, God is going to refill us, you know, and that's our job. But it's time for us to be bold as a lion. All this shyness and, you know, and if God, you go into Kroger, And God tells you to go over to the chicken. I'm going to just tell you, I was going down the street one day, and God told me to go to Kroger. No, God, I already got my groceries. I don't need to go to Kroger. Go to Kroger. I went to Kroger, and I end up at the deli. You got to be careful what you think, you know. And I'm standing looking at that old chicken thinking, man, that chicken's old. You know, I left that chicken out yesterday, you know. And this lady walks up to me, and I looked at her, and God began to speak to her. And she began to cry. And she told me she had told God the night before, if I don't get a word from you today, I can't go any further. I need a word. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. If God speaks to you to give somebody a dollar, pat them on the back, as long as it's biblical and it lines up with the word of God, then you move and you do it. Because you'll rob somebody else of a blessing. And the greatest blessings come when you allow God to use you to bless others. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, everybody wants to be used of God. And everybody wants that anointing. Everybody wants this. But you have to pay a price in order for God to use you. And the price is lining up with the word of God, paying your tithe, you know, and living for God and doing what God says to do. But obedience goes a long way with God, because see, God, he looks at our hearts. This is one of the greatest things about God. He looks at our hearts. You know, people that know you from your old life, they may look at you and say, oh yeah, I remember you, drug dealer over there on the corner. Yeah, you don't change. But God looks at your heart. And he said, that's my son right there. Yeah, I delivered him and I set him free. And my name is in his forehead and he's blood bought and he's spirit filled and he belongs to me. It's so different from what the world does. And if you belong to God, God is going to take care of you. And God is going to make sure that when you trust him in the hardest times of your life, one other thing that happened. I got sick and I thought I had the flu. So Brother Jim kept trying to take me to the hospital. I said, I'm not going to hospital. It's too late for my flu shot. I'm not giving him the money. Brother Jim, bless his heart, y'all need, Brother Jim's a good man over there, you know. God gave him quite a bit of anyway, we don't want to go there, but what I meant to say is God blessed that man. Anyway, he kept trying to get me to go to the doctor, and I wouldn't go. And so I had just started teaching a class here on spiritual warfare. And so he was going to church, and I got up, and I went and sat on the couch, and Jensen Franklin was preaching. And he said, when you begin to preach or teach people about the devil's tactics and devices, he's coming after you. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh, I need to get to the hospital. I need to get there now. And I called Jim and I said, Jim, I need to go to the hospital right now. He said, I just asked you before I left. I don't care. Come and get me. I got to go to the hospital. So he comes home. And of course, I'm in bed asleep. And he said, because I was going to go see my regular doctor the next day. He said, I thought you were going to the hospital. No, I go tomorrow. You know, he said, no, you're going today. So he got me up gently and decided he's going to take me to the doctor. So we go to the doctor, and I'm halfway unconscious, and I'm laying there, and that doctor comes in, and she's, I heard her say, she's got sepsis and kidney failure. And I thought, my God, how could I have kidney failure? I just took care of my daddy with kidney failure. And she said, she's going to be here a long time. So they did my kidney count, and it was 7.8. And so what was happening is my body had already begun to shut down, and I didn't know it. So that night, I stayed in the hospital. I told Brother Jim, go home, I'll be all right, you know. In the middle of the night, they came in there, and they turned me upside down in my bed, and they started doing all kind of stuff to me. And I thought, oh, for the first time, I might be in trouble. I said, God, am I going to die? You know, I didn't know, no, you shall not die. But I felt his presence come over me and wrap around me like a blanket and let me know that he was right there with me. And at that time, I thought, well, if I die, it's okay because I know where I'm going. After that, they said, you have to go on kidney dialysis. And in my spirit, I knew God didn't want me on dialysis. My kidney number would not come down. For days and weeks, it would not come down. And all the upper people in the hospital, the big doctors and stuff, were all coming to my room saying, you have to go on dialysis. And I told them no. And I said, I told God, if I have to go on dialysis, you might as well take me because I'm not going to be any good, you know? Anyway, make a long story short, finally, after how many days, Jim? I can't see your fingers. You're in the dark. Huh? 7 days, the number moved a half a point. And then it went down, down, down. And they told me I'd be seeing a kidney doctor the rest of my life. I saw a kidney doctor for 2 or 3 weeks, and he dismissed me and said, you don't ever have to come back. You got great kidneys. It's in the midst of the battle that you see God move, not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally. You know, we didn't have a house. I'm kind of got crazy faith. I told God, I want a house by this time next year before Christmas. God, I want my own house. So Brother Jim comes home. Hey, I found a house. Oh, you did? Yeah. He didn't have a job. We didn't have no money. But that's okay. God don't need no money, right? So he takes me over there, and I got excited. Yeah, I said, oh, yeah, God, this is my house. Yeah. I was doing prayer meetings at my house. I took my prayer people over there. I pray over that house. God, we claim this house in the name of Jesus, you know, da da. Make a long story short, we had to do a $500 earnest money for that house. And, of course, we had $500, but Brother Jim said, well, you know, you want the house, you sign the check. I'm just kidding. I signed the check, and we did the earnest money. But the guy that owned the house, God gave Jim and I both the same price that we would offer for the house. And the guy that owned the house would not come off of his price, period. So Jim and I kept messing with it and messing with it. And I got so discouraged that I looked at Jim and I said, I don't even want that house anymore. And I got in the bed and I covered my head up. And I'm thinking, just forget it. It's too much. Don't you ever feel like it's just too much? Like you just can't do it anymore? Like, yeah, God said it's going to happen, but you're just tired. You're just weak. You're just worn out. And that's where I was. I had more than fragile faith. I had fractured faith. The doorbell rang. It was my daddy. And my daddy prayed for us, and God spoke, and he said to hold on, not to give up. We went over to the man's house. He was so mean, and he talked so mean to my husband, and he's lucky Jim didn't pull him over the desk and kill him. It's only my prayers that saved his life. He don't know that, but it is. Anyway, so that man and his wife were there, and God showed us that his wife used to be a real believer, close to God. And I told Jim, God's going to use her with him to get our house. He called Jim and he said, what are we going to do about this house? I'm tired of it. In the meantime, we didn't have any money. In the meantime, people brought money in envelopes. We didn't tell anybody we didn't have any money. And God told me to start packing, so I started packing in the kitchen so nobody knew I was packing. You know, great woman of faith, you know. And so then I had to start packing in the living room. And Brother Jim came home and put his tea on the table with no glass. He said, don't you pack nothing else. And so anyway, the money started coming in. We got the money for the down payment. And then I said, God, I don't really want to move in a house if I don't have any curtains. And I don't have any rugs. God, you know, I want to have rugs and curtains. God said he'll give you the desire of your heart according to his riches and glory. And if you're living right, you can ask God for anything. He's your father. Anyway, so some people came over that had tax problems, and they'd gone to their tax person, and they owed so much, and they were going to go pay it, and they asked us to pray. So we prayed. Well, a few minutes later, they came back, and they had money. And they said, the taxes just disappeared, and God said, take this to Jim and Donna Renfro. So guess who got curtains, and guess who got rugs, And guess what? We moved into our house 2 days before Christmas. 2 days. So I'm telling you, church, God will do what he says he will do if you dig your feet in and you hold on and you dare to stand on your faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So you can hope for it, but you haven't seen it. So no matter what it is or how impossible it seems, God is not limited. You know what his limits are? Us, right here. We limit him. Had I left myself in that bed with my head under the covers, we would have never gotten that house, ever. It's not easy. But what Jesus did for us when he went up on that cross and he died so violently, it wasn't easy either. So why should it be easy for us? We had to be willing to do what God wants us to do. And it's easy to say, oh, God, use me, send me, do whatever. But you better be careful with your prayers because you can't take them back. You know, I started, oh, God, use me like Elijah, God, like David. Like I started reading that, but whoa, hold on here. You know, the shipwrecks and all, I don't want no part of that. But you can't take it back, you know. So be encouraged and know that God is a giver of good gifts. And he don't want you to have fragile faith. He don't want you to be worn out and bent down. But he wants you to have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And he wants you to look to him, the author and the finisher of your faith. If you've got a problem, it just takes 1 second to get down on your knees and meet him. And man, he will come down. And when you get through, you won't even, it's just really good. It's really good. I'm telling you, it's good. So he is faithful. The word of God said he's faithful to finish the works that he started. God bless y'all.